Enlighten Life podcast. In this episode, we're going to hear from Dr. Kevin Minoya and Miriam Swanson. This recording was graciously provided by our friends at Seedbed and is from a breakout session at the 2019 New Room Conference. Both Dr. Minoya and Miriam Swanson led a session about holiness, and we've prepared some excerpts from that session along with notes for you to follow. We encourage you to check out all of Light and Life's discipleship materials at lightandlife.fm. Thanks for joining us, and now let's welcome Dr. Kevin Minoya and Miriam Swanson.
So I'm Kevin Minoya, and I currently serve as university chaplain at Azusa Pacific University, but I also founded and lead the Wesleyan Holiness Connection, which is a network of denominations, universities, colleges, and leaders around the country and world with a desire for a fresh articulation of holiness in the 21st century. And so that's a lot of relationships, and there are other things that I tend to do, but that's really my passion. And one of the things that I have discovered is that there are probably some of you in this room who, like me, and if you're like me, you grew up in a day when holiness had a lot of baggage attached to it. And we realize that holiness has become so misconstrued, even in a secularized society, that often it is defined or it is only used as a precursor to a swear word, right? And holiness has lost its meaning, its power, its weight in terms of what it really represents. And so in the latter part of the 20th century, holiness became a legalistic list of rules that you lived up to, a behavioral expectation, living up to the rules that somebody else put on you, living up to your own expectations, and we began to define holiness based upon what we thought it looked like, and in the process, we were holding the form of religion but denying the power thereof, right? And God has called us to understand more deeply the nature of holiness. In the last 15 to 20 years, churches, leaders, schools have been recovering, rediscovering the power of God's holiness in them. It does not belong to us. We are not the agents of holiness. God is. This is the one theme of Scripture that does not tell us about what God does to us or for us. It describes God's own self. It describes who God is, who he is as a holy God. This is the one theme that is descriptive of our God. So when we think about what is holiness, we all come at it from different expectations. Miriam and some of you maybe don't have that kind of experience of a lot of freighting and barnacles attached to the concept of holiness. So what we'd like to do just to get going is to take 2 or 3 minutes and have you turn to two other people around you in threes, or if you need two, fours, and answer that question with one another. What is holiness? What do I understand holiness to be? Okay? And then we'll hear from you, and then we'll add some thoughts, and we'll move on from there. So talk to your neighbors. What is holiness? Ready, set, go.
Take a moment now and pause the recording to discuss with your group, what is holiness? We'll be right back.
Beautiful. Yeah, and we talked yesterday a little bit about holiness as transformation, and what if holiness was on the offensive, this powerful presence of God in us and through us, the nature and name of God that actually transforms lives, rather than your white skinny jeans that you've got to be really careful that you don't drop coffee on, otherwise you might have broken holiness. You know, that kind of vibe. And, you know, if someone asks you the question, how are you doing at being holy? That often gives you, your first reaction often gives you a little bit of an indication as to some of the baggage that you might have adopted around holiness. You know, almost like you've walked past a police officer. And it's not that you're a criminal, but then maybe you are. Because as you walk past them, you're like, gosh, suddenly I actually don't want to make eye contact. And you're like, don't look suspicious. Even though you've not stolen anything, it's not like you've shoplifted and it's in your pockets. But at the same time, is it? Did I? Because, you know, suddenly you're like, gosh, I feel guilty. I don't want to make eye contact just in case. Look, arrest me now. I actually did once steal a Bible. I'm confessing it now, okay? quiz now. It's happening. Come, Holy Spirit. What I did was, they were giving out free Bibles in Holy Trinity Brompton, which is the church that birthed Alpha. And I didn't get a free one because they were all taken. And then some poor, lovely woman left hers in the ladies' bathroom. So I took it. But holiness isn't about me, and it's not about what you do, and it's not about all that. So we're fine that I've just made that confession. No. It's really helpful when, you know, if you ask the question, how are you doing at being holy? Or, like, what's your holiness like? What does that bring up in you? Where are some of the things where we recognize, oh, hold on. If holiness is the essence and presence of God with us and in us, and where the Spirit of God is, there's freedom, then we start to notice, actually, there are some ways in which I can just shake off some of that accidental, that baggage, that backpack that I've put on with all the extra stuff that it means to qualify as holy, as I begin to look at the one who is holy. So it's helpful for us to just check in at the start about what do we mean when we say holiness, and how are you doing with that right now? Because that will help us with where we go next.
Yeah, the question's a really good one. And I don't know if you noticed it, but in many of the responses that you probably talked about, you were defining the effect, the EFFECT, the effect of holiness in your life. You are set apart. You are godly. You have changed your behavior and so forth and so on. But the question ultimately is, what is the essence of holiness? Because if we don't understand what holiness really is, then it's very easy for our human nature to take control of it and to own it. And holiness is the one theme of Scripture that we do not that we do not own, that we do not control, that we do not define. Because it's not something that God does to us or for us. He forgives us of our sins. He gives us mercy. You know, we confess our sins and he receives them and so forth and so on. Holiness defines who God is. So you see, holiness is not a doctrine. It's not a theology. It's not a list of behaviors. It's not a to-do list. It's not legalism. It's not behavioralism. Holiness is not something that we define in our theological book or even in our book of discipline or even by the council or the general conference or the bishops. Holiness is the one thing in Scripture that defines the very nature of God himself. Holiness is God's nature, you see. So then when we try to define holiness, we run into this paradoxical problem where we don't have the capacity of fully defining who God is. So we have all of these things. I mean, sometime in Scripture you find that God says, sanctify yourselves. And then he says, this land is holy. And then he says, this animal is holy. And these people are holy. And I will make this holy. And this building is holy. I mean, what is holiness? I mean, all of those things. It appears more in Scripture than the atonement itself. So this is a word that we don't jettison. A number of years ago when we created the WHC, some of the denominational heads that, you know, AG and Foursquare, Free Methodist, Nazareth, all of them, we sat around, we thought, should we get a different word because this is so freighted with negative thoughts? And we said, no, this is a scriptural word. We've got to redeem. We've got to reclaim. We've got to understand. We need to submit to understanding what this is so that it becomes part of us. So holiness is not all of these things. Holiness is a definition of who God himself is. So then the question becomes, all right, so then if I am desiring, if I really talk about human people living a holy life, or if I am pursuing God's holiness, what does that look like? Well, they're going to show up in descriptors. It's going to show up in behavioral changes, absolutely. But in essence, holiness is who God is. So we become holy not by pulling ourselves up by the bootstraps, not by doing more or doing better, not by checking the list of the rules on our refrigerator. We become holy by an open-handed surrender that says, not my will, but thine be done. I empty myself. I humble myself, to use the kenosis passage in Philippians 2. I empty myself, and in the emptying of myself, now God is able to be seen in greater measure through my life and in my life. So it is not my holiness, it is God's holiness being reflected in and through me. I have no claim on that holiness. It is God's own nature being seen in me. So holiness is simply Christ-likeness as we allow the nature of a God who is holy to be seen in greater measure through us. And therefore, if God is in us, then we will be holy as he is holy. You see, that verse is not a prescription, go and be holy so that as I am holy. It is, if I am in you, if we have surrendered, if we have relinquished and emptied ourselves, God is seen in us, and we will be holy as he is holy in a descriptive way.
Yeah, so good. And so then we come to the question of, okay, well, that is such a good apologetic for why we're in the room. Like, gosh, you start to get, okay, I actually really want to know more about holiness. I really want to lean into this. And so what we want to talk about now is, okay, so why is this so needed today? Why is this relevant? Why are you in the room? What's going on in your context, your life, your world, the mission field that you're in that means you think holiness is a relevant thing to be going after today? So why don't you talk again with your neighbors? Why do we need this? And then we'll take some feedback. Go for it.
Pause the recording now and let's engage with that challenge Miriam just gave us. Why is holiness so needed today? Take a moment to discuss it, process your answers, and we'll be right back.
Phenomenal. You know, one of the things, and in a minute Miriam's going to enlighten us a little bit too, but one of the things that I think I have noticed is that there are three words that characterize our current culture, both in the U.S. and as I travel around the world, this is also true there. Polarity, compartmentalization, and independence. And those terms tend to characterize how our culture is approaching life, and how our culture approaches itself within our dealings one with another. We push each other to extremes in a hostile, vitriolic adversarialism because there can only be a zero-sum game, win or lose. I'm wrong, you're right. You're wrong, I'm right. And there's nothing in between. And in that polarity, we push each other to extremes such that now our faith is no longer a vibrant faith, but a religion that needs to be defended. And in terms of the compartmentalization, we tend to compartmentalize life. We, you know, if you got an emotional problem, you go to psychology. You got an intellectual, you go to the intellect. If you got a spiritual problem, you go to the pastor. We compartmentalize even within those areas, those specific areas. Everything has become so compartmentalized that we have fractured the very wholeness of God when he created us whole, right? And that compartmentalization works against us. And then the independence, we almost deify independence. Everything is independent. Pull yourself up by the bootstraps. Don't take any advice from anybody else. Don't rely on anybody else. Do it in your own strength. Don't cry. Don't show weakness. You can do this by yourself and you don't need anybody, right? I mean, polarity, compartmentalization, and independence. And the issue is that when God created us in God's own image, he created us to be whole, not polar. Whole, and he created us to be integrated, not compartmentalized. And he created us not to be independent, because independence will always lead to isolation. He created us to be interdependent, you see. So we have this worldly, this earthly culture that characterizes our environment that is desperately looking for something that will provide wholeness, integration, and interdependence, which God put within us when he created us in his own image, and which exists even in the Godhead, even in the Trinity, where there is mutuality, and there is integration, and there is wholeness. God is whole, God is integrated, God is interdependent within the Godhead, and that's how he made us. That is the yearning of the human heart, is to find those things. And so holiness brings that wholeness, brings that integration, brings that interdependence into the human heart so that we once again are restored in the image of God. Somebody back here said the new creation. Salvation isn't just getting a ticket to heaven and boycotting hell. Salvation is the restoration of the image of God in us, right? And that recreates how God has made us in that way, which is countercultural.
And that's where holiness and mission just go hand in hand, because then you start to realize what a relief of an invitation it is to come into the contact with the presence and the holiness of God, where stuff starts to come aligned, where this culture is kind of warring against itself internally, externally, in our own minds. And, you know, like, the culture's making us sick. It's not like we're okay. Talk to any of your teenagers. It's not okay what's going on. It's not okay what we're swimming in. You know, like the amount of anxiety and fear, whether diagnosed or not, that's going on. We are now raising a generation that are literally swimming in and drinking in stuff that is not working. And yet the invitation of the world is, and have more, and have more, whilst at the same time we know it's making us ill. And so when you offer this invitation of there's another way that's possible, and in the middle of the pollution, you can actually drink fresh water for a thirsty soul. You can actually not be so divided in who you are in front of somebody compared to online. You know, a prime example for me would be when the Me Too movement broke. And this is my experience in the UK. And there's not a woman I know, including myself, that wouldn't raise her hand and say Me Too. I don't know anyone. I don't know anyone where that isn't relevant. So Me Too. That breaks the same week as we're buying our singles to get into the UK charts. And like one of the number one hits of that week was a song where if you actually read the lyrics, we literally bought the song that is singing about the Me Too moments we're condemning over here whilst we're partying in our car to that. And it's the same message, and one of them's condemned and one of them we paid for. And I'm like, no wonder we feel sick. Have you seen the diet that we're eating? Like, there are so many contradictions and clashes and identity fraud going on. The relief of holiness is that wholeness of the fullness of the shalom of God in us and through us that means I actually feel like at one with who I am as made by Jesus. I actually begin to see the new creation isn't just in me, it's through me, that God actually has a destiny for those around me. What a relief in the war of culture that's going on. What a relief in my own contradictions and hypocrisy. What a relief in our own anxiety and the stuff that we're swimming in. There is another way. So holiness is mission, is discipleship, is awakening, and it's needed. Yeah.
So one of the questions then that becomes germane to this, if we have a proper understanding of holiness, it is relevant for today's culture in our contemporary context, then how do we grow in holiness and how do we lead others in growing in holiness, right? Makes sense if we ask that question. So take a few minutes, talk in your small group, answer that question. So how do we grow? How do I grow? How do we grow in holiness? Got it?
Take a moment to engage with those thoughts from Dr. Minoya. When you're ready, unpause the recording and we'll continue.
Right, and of course, scripture uses that very metaphor around physical training. And we are trying to train for a marathon here. So we're not expecting that in one discipleship meeting, you've suddenly got this holiness thing down and you're sorted and you're free and you're woohoo, surrendered. But actually, just that whole thing of the more you practice, the more that muscle gets stronger. So the more that you practice kind of waiting in the presence of God, acknowledging presence of Jesus, the more you practice that accountability and realize actually shame doesn't need to have a hold on you. And actually, there's this beautiful freedom that comes with confession. The more we actually become stronger in our faith in Christ and what he does in his holiness. I'd love to hear some of your wisdom.
I'm not sure it's wisdom, but I'll share some thoughts. You know, one of the things that I discovered, somebody over here mentioned it, and that is the human heart always looks at the thing that threatens it most, and that elicits fear, right? And I'm no exception to that. It takes the exercising that Miriam is talking about to shift our focus onto the call of God into the loving identity of being a child of God surrendered to him. So that, in essence, requires surrendering myself to God's call to be his child, to live in his love, and that takes practice, right? Every day when I begin my day, I have a little kneeler in my office and I spend time at that kneeler, and in front of that kneeler is a tapestry replica of what hangs in the LA Cathedral, a tapestry done by John Nava of Jesus in his baptism. and the image of Christ kneeled down and bowed down draws me to following Christ in surrender. In surrender and submission, as you bow, O Lord, so I bow in humble submission to your Lordship and in submission to the circumstances that may befall me today, right? Surrendering it to God. So for me, there are three, in answer to your question back here, if you're looking for suggestions, three things. Number one is submission. Personal submission. Personal submission to the God who is holy, that his image and his holiness will be reflected in greater measure through me. Can't do that if I don't surrender self. So I tend to, when I pray, there comes a point where I open my hand, I stand up on my tiptoes, and I say, Lord, I give it all. Everything I have, I reach it as high as I can, and I surrender it all, and I submit myself to you. And in that surrender now, I surrender to circumstances, I surrender to God, I surrender to any of the fear that wants to come at me, right? I leave it, I let it go, and I focus my attention on the call of God and his holiness. The second one is mutuality. Submission, mutuality. And mutuality is where community is built. Right? Mutuality is be mutually submitted to one another as unto the Lord. I submit myself to you. The fingerprints of your life are all over mine. You influence me because we are mutually submitted to one another, right? And mutuality requires that I am humble, that I don't know it all. The world is not built around me, and I don't have the answer to everything. You are going to influence me, and it requires vulnerability. And I'm not going to unpack those because there's a lot with vulnerability that is much more than simply being transparent, right? So first is surrender or submission. Second is mutuality, which leads into community that is interdependent. We influence one another. And the third one is a little bit odd, but it's really important, and that is social engagement. There is no holiness apart from social holiness. Now, I know that John Wesley was talking about the construct of the bands and the Christian community, but there's also an element of that social holiness that it compels us to reach to the margins, to engage the culture, and to not sit still where we see the injustices. So social engagement is really, really important. There is a compulsion within us because just like when God, who was motivated by love, sent Jesus, took initiative to send Jesus, he didn't wait around for us to ask for help. He saw the need and he moved to meet it and he took responsible initiative to do that. People who are letting God be reflected, I better sit down or else I'll start preaching and then I got to take an offering, right? And we don't want to do that. Yeah, we can take an offering, you know. That would be fine with you?
No.
We could take an offering because, well, you could use another pair of jeans. Let's say you got a hole in them.
Honestly, you're being more and more like my parent every time. This is amazing.
Come on, this poor girl, she can't afford a whole pair of jeans. Yeah. Social engagement is an absolute essential outreach of holiness in the heart of surrendered people. Because we reach to the margin. When we see the injustice of God, we take God's holiness there. We go so that when we walk in the room and God is in us, his holiness is being reflected in us, we bring Christ into the room. And everything changes. So now we eliminate this adversarialism, this hostility, this vitriol, and we begin to have engagement as people knowing that there is dignity in every person for having been created in the image of God. See? So this social engagement, and the holiness movement is all about that. I'm going to sit down again. Holiness is all about that. I mean, it's the holiness people who were the ones who were battling for women's suffrage and women's rights for ordination and getting rid of slavery and human trafficking and economic reform and all that stuff. We don't sit around in our holy huddle and isolate ourselves as being separatistic and pious. The holiness of God leaks out of our pores so that when we work and sweat, what people smell and what they see is the sweat of God coming out of us.
Preach. Woo, that was great. But that's actually really important when you're engaging the next generation as well, because quite honestly, it won't cut it if the church doesn't have the integrity of actually loving the most oppressed, marginalized, and actually caring for the planet and the community. If you talk to your average 14, 15-year-old, whether they follow Jesus or not, they are now looking at the integrity of our life and how we live this thing out, believing that if faith is going to have that integrity, it's got to be a whole faith, whole life thing. And so that invitation again comes to, oh, this holiness is mission, is discipleship, it's transformative. And like, you know, my own story around experimenting with a like, come on then, Holy Spirit, like what are you like and how do I really spot more of you? It was through these spiritual experiments with holiness that I discovered things like by moving to the neighborhood that I moved into amongst genuinely people that are generationally unemployed and addicted. The greatest privilege of my life was to discover Jesus there and to know more about our homeless, displaced rabbi through the faces of displaced people, through the hospitality of my neighbors, and through understanding there is something of the divine that I'm actually being changed by in the addicted community. I didn't come in with a messiah complex. Do I believe the distinctive presence of God in me transforms? Of course I do. But do I believe in the kingdom of God, bigger than me, at work in the world, often starting secretly but growing? And do I then realize, gosh, holiness, this thing goes viral because the presence of God is way beyond me and you. It's kind of everywhere and the divine thumbprint is on everyone. And so holiness, yes, it's that accountability of having good brothers and sisters that look you in the eye and help you get free and stay free. But it goes somewhere. Free people. And so this thing goes somewhere and then you begin to realize, man, it's actually irresistible. It's kind of addictive. The more you begin to pursue Jesus and realize holiness just covers everything. So it's exciting and needed. And I think this generation are craving it as part of what it really means to be a disciple.
Thank you to Miriam Swanson and Dr. Minoya for sharing your insights and experiences with us today on the Light in Life podcast. Again, more discipleship materials are available at lightinlife.fm. Let's pray together today. Our Lord God, we thank you so much for these thoughts about being holy. Not so much because it's anything we can do, but Lord, as we were taught today, it's because of who you are. Your essence is holiness. Holiness is needed today more than ever. And as Dr. Minoya told us, help us to hold our hands open, to stand before you, ready to submit and surrender to your good and perfect will, to empty ourselves and say, Lord, fill us. That when people see me, they would not see me, but they would see you. Lord, this is a desperate need today. And it's something we've cried out to you to change our society. And actually what we need to do is cry out to you, change me, that you may change the world through me, that I may be holy as you are holy. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.